Our text for this morning is a statement found in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. And it is repeated three times more in the New Testament. It is this simple phrase, "The just shall live by faith." And here it reads, "The just shall live by his faith." Now, if you'll go to Romans chapter 1 and mark Habakkuk, if you like. I don't know that we'll need to come back, but I want to speak to you based on that statement in Habakkuk. But if you'll turn to Romans, the first chapter, our reading now will actually come from the book of Romans, and it is in this chapter in Romans that one of the three occurrences of this phrase in the New Testament is found in this chapter. All right, let's begin at the beginning of the chapter itself. Now, before reading, let us pray. Lord, we thank you this day that you have allowed, enabled, and caused us to be present in this place. But Lord, if any lasting eternal good is to come from our being here, you yourself must bestow it. You yourself must give it. Whatever you demand of us, you must in grace and mercy give us, or we shall never have it. And we come this morning to this blessed phrase of immense importance, found four times in our Bibles. It is as though you would underline these words for us. We pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to receive your holy word, the truth of your grace, the gospel of your Son, the only Savior for sinners, the Lord Jesus. Lord, without your presence and without your work, we can accomplish nothing at all. Help us, we beg. Help this poor preacher speak the truth concerning the God of the Bible, the God of grace, the God of glory, the God of mercy. We beg in Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated unto the gospel of God, which he had before promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Our Lord's human nature came to him through David. Then we read in verse 4, "and declared to be the Son of God. As the Son of David, the Lord Jesus is the Son of Man." He has a human body. But in verse 4, when it comes to his Godhood, he is said to be declared to be the Son of God with power. David cannot make Christ God, nor can we make Him God. If He is God, He's always been God and will always be God. He can't ever be anything else but God. Thank God He is also the God-man. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ proves His deity. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Among whom are you also the called, Paul now referring to the Roman believers, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ? Are we the called of Christ? Has He savingly called us? To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, was hindered up until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel of Christ, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You remember that phrase? We had it in Habakkuk 2:4 and now in Romans 1:17. And if you won't mind, I'd like to just change one word in that statement so that you understand something that modern day religious people have no understanding of virtually. The just shall live by Christ. Christ is the author of our faith and the finisher, as well as the object, the sole object. Verse 18. Now this takes a decided turn beginning at verse 18, even more so at 19. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. And we could put a personal pronoun in these verses and read the same thing about ourselves. Verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, when we knew God, we glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in our imaginations, and our foolish heart was darkened. Professing ourselves to be wise, we became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. We'll worship anything except the God of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherein, this goes downhill fast, wherein God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, having the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or fit. This statement has to do with what is commonly called homosexuality. I hate it, I despise it, and I hope you do too. But I want you to understand that not believing and not trusting Christ is a crime of infinitely greater importance than homosexuality. Religious men and women who claim to know Christ, and He's not the Christ of the Bible, are going to find at Judgment Day that they have missed Him altogether. And according to Matthew chapter 11 and the words of our Savior, it'll be far worse on Capernaum, who had heard Christ preach more than any other place during His public life and ministry of 3.5 years. It would be worse for them than it will be for Sodom and Gomorrah. And he goes on to say, had the words preached in Capernaum been preached in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have remained until this day. In judgment, there are degrees of punishment. In heaven, there are no degrees. All believers are even and on a par with each other. And one of us ain't going to be trying to wear 5 crowns while somebody else has none. That's pure hogwash. That's all it is. It's trying to pump religious people up who don't know God, so they'll work harder and give more. Excuse me. I need to get back to what I was doing. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who in knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but they take pleasure in those that do them. And this is talking about me, and it's talking about you and every other member of the human race. Now, let's just leave our Bibles open because our text is right here in front of us. We'll just make reference to the one in the Old Testament in order to make this point. The statements four times over in our Bibles, the just shall live by faith, this Old Testament text, Habakkuk 2:4, shows us that in this statement, the just shall live by faith, it is precisely the same as the New Testament, which tells us this. There's a widespread false understanding of how the people of God in the Old Testament were treated compared to the New Testament and to our times as well. And it is simply this. God saved people the same way He does now in the Old Testament. You know why? Because the just shall live by faith. You understand what I'm saying? I understand that worship was different. People brought literal sacrifices to be offered to God. But that was simply a type and a picture, a shadow of the coming Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, who redeemed sinners on Calvary's tree, those who lived beforehand and those who lived afterward. So there's no problem with this statement, the just shall live by faith. The just of the Old Testament live by faith in a coming Redeemer. Moses wrote of me, the Lord Jesus said to the carping Pharisees. He said, had you believed Moses, you would believe me. Oh, they claimed big time to believe Moses, but they were only fooling themselves and perhaps primarily fooling others. Our Lord went on to say in John's Gospel, which is where that other reference is as well, He said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. And they had a fit. They said, you're not even 50 years old and you've seen Abraham? Yes. It was Christ that Abraham worshipped on Mount Moriah. Yep. It's called Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide Himself a sacrifice, and that sacrifice is in His Son. So from the blood sacrifice of Abel to the last blood sacrifice before Christ actually died on the tree, every drop of that sacrificial blood pointed to Christ shedding His blood on the cross. And these people, those who understood and had, as we must have, a divine revelation to our souls, they saw Christ in those sacrifices and believed and were saved and are in glory. The just shall live by faith. Well, let's look at this one in Romans chapter 1 for just a moment. This tells us that faith in Christ is in the face of and in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation. What more awful charges can be read than are found in Romans chapter 1? And this is an indictment upon the entire human race. And the only solution now, and the only solution then, is Christ in Him crucified. Paul says in verse 16, Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Not ashamed, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Look in verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. Verse 18. In this same gospel that reveals such wonderful things as we have just read in verses 16 and 17, this same gospel also reveals the wrath of God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, verse 18, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. In Christ, and in Christ alone, God justifies the sinner perfectly, altogether, completely. In Christ, God sanctifies the sinner wholly, wholly, and completely. And thirdly, in Christ, God glorifies the sinner eternally, forever and ever and ever and ever. No end. Without beginning and without end. All right, let's take our next text. Let me see if I can remember. This is number two, right? The third one is Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. It's clear, it's plain. It is not confusing. It's not what we want to hear, but it's just what it is. The just shall live by faith. All of God's people live spiritually in God's sight by faith in God's Son. Let's think about that just a minute. So what's the purpose of putting this third statement where it is in Galatians chapter 3? The message and purpose of this text in Galatians 3 is in the first phrase, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. You see it in that very verse, verse 11. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Now words, be honest with ourselves, words could not be any plainer than this. There's nobody in this room, I don't believe, let's see. Some of us might be too old for this one, but nobody otherwise in this room can say that there's a word here they don't understand. I mean, as far as the meaning of words go, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. None. None. So that leads me to want to put before you four questions concerning the law. Now, in case you don't know, and I doubt that you don't, most of you should, religion makes everything of the Ten Commandments. They urge people to to perform those acts, to follow those rules, and people actually think that they have. You see signs in their front yard with the Ten Commandments. Why would you put that unless you are professing to keep those ten laws? You see them in religious establishments, in churches, and all over the place. People make all this kind of to-do. But nowhere do you see them actually admitting that they cannot keep the law. So here are four quick questions. You just mull them over. What is the law? What is it? It is the summary and character of the holiness of God. It is a list of the requirements of God for all of His subjects. That's me and you and everybody else. It's not simply that we can't keep it. If we are to be accepted in God's sight, it must be kept in our room place instead, or we're not going to see Him. This is important. These requirements are for all of God's subjects. What is the law? It is God's perfect standard of holiness. How far do we fall below that? We have broken all ten. All of them. Now, if you're upset with that statement, you just take it up with God. It's not me that said it, it's Him. Second question. What does the law of God require? What's the least requirement? It's real simple. To love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. And we don't do it. We cannot do it. But you make real certain you understand this. Christ kept it for us. He honored it perfectly and completely. He rendered to it every satisfaction that God demanded, down to His own life in our place, in our room, in our stead. Third question. Can any human being of any generation, ours or some other, can any human being meet these ten requirements? The answer is no, no, and no. Nobody. Not a one of us. Yet, God can be satisfied with no less. He cannot receive less than Himself. We must, in order to be accepted of Him, we must be made perfect in Christ. The fourth question about the law. Has any human ever met these requirements? And we say, hallelujah, yes, there is one. It is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He did so as our representative, so that whatever He did, we did in Him. Now, you got to get a hold of that, or you don't understand how we can take part in something that we didn't do. This is who Christ is. He's our substitute. He's our Savior. He's our federal head. He's our representative. Now, you know what representation's all about. People in Raleigh and people in Washington and people in Lillington, for that matter, can vote to do this, that, or the other, and they're representing you, and you voted whether you think you did or not. Well, I'm telling you, it's wonderful when Christ is my representative. Come to the fourth one. This time we're in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're actually going to deal with verses 38 and 39, but verse 38 is the main verse. Hebrews 10, 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Well, what's it doing in Hebrews? We understood why it's in Galatians 3 and why it's in Romans 1 and why it's in the book of Habakkuk. Well, why is it a third time in the New Testament? All of which come from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Why the third occasion? This text, Hebrews 10, 38, shows faith to be the very life of perseverance. Now, if you got to read the whole chapter, chapter 10, to really sense this as you come to the end of this chapter. We're told in the book of Hebrews, if the sacrifice of Christ ain't enough for me, there ain't no other. There's no more. Four times in Hebrews 10, the expression no more is repeated. And one of those times, no more sacrifice for sins. No more. It's either done or it ain't ever going to be done. Paul is speaking concerning perseverance. Let me read you verse 38 and 39 together. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Oh, look at this. It's amazing how understanding and generous Paul could be on occasion. And here's one of them. But we, the Hebrews and himself, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition or damnation, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. He's talking about continuing in faith. Like I say, you got to read the chapter pretty much to catch how important that ending is. And how wonderful these words in verse 38 and 39 are. Here's something I found recently in regard to Hebrews 10 and the just shall live by faith. By faith we begin salvation. Hey, I've been real light on you this morning. How about John chapter 3, the last verse, I think, in the chapter? John 3, 36. Salvation is begun. How? Here it is. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Here's the second one, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, y'all have me at a real disadvantage this morning. I've only done this once before that I know of, and I'm using a new Bible. I mean, it's just like my other one, but it's tough. I don't know. 1 Peter 1:5. Well, I've got the book of James just as certain as anything. I told you. My other one, I can just, you know, just make it do about anything, but not this one. Goodness me, that's embarrassing. Yeah, there's where it was supposed to be. I knew it was on the wrong spot on the page. Verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 1. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now don't miss this part. Ready to be revealed in the last time. It's going to last all through time. Now you and I probably won't make it all the way through time, but I mean, somebody will. What a glorious statement indeed. We are kept in salvation. The third one is that verse in Hebrews 10:39. We complete the journey. How? By faith in Christ. It's Christ to start with. It's Christ in the middle. It's Christ in the end. It's Christ forever. Well, how come people ain't preaching Christ? You can't preach what you don't know. I stole these words from Brother Henry Mahan. The soul is the life of the body. Faith is the life of the soul. Christ is the life of faith. Now do you see the connection? I'll read that to you again. The soul is the life of the body. Faith is the life of the soul. And Christ is the life of faith. Oh, what a statement. What a statement indeed. Well, I've said all I want to say, and I'm not going to keep you any longer just because it's not 12 o'clock.